And first reading is Ecclesiastes chapter 2, 1 to 4, and then carrying on from verse 10. I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. The wise man has eyes in his head, while the fool walks in the darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I thought in my heart, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said in my heart, this too is meaningless. For the wise man, like the fool, will not be long remembered. In days to come, both will be forgotten. Like the fool, the wise man too must die. So I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me, and who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labour under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labours under the sun? All his days, his work, his pain and grief, even at night his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the sun, under heaven, sorry. And the second reading is 1 Peter. Four. 8 to 11. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Is that better? Ah, oh, there we go. Yes. I will admit, I have a confession to make, that I think this is the most difficult sermon I have ever tried to prepare in my entire life. So on that note, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your word is never meaningless. We thank you that you are above all and in all and through all, and that everything we do should serve you and have a purpose. But without you, it is meaningless. So, Father God, as we come today to explore the idea of having purpose in our hobbies and our interests and the things that we do in our leisure, we pray, Lord, that you would open our minds, that you would open our hearts, that you would open your scripture to us to just explain a little bit more of what your purpose is in what we do in our free time. So we give this time to you, a time that we come to search your scriptures, and we pray that you would speak to us. We give it to you for your glory, because that is what we should do in all that we do, is to bring you glory. In your name, amen. Right. With that auspicious beginning, what are our interests? What are our interests? I found a few of these lying around. Some people seem to like cooking. That's a rather officious-looking tart up or pie up on the top. The beautiful dog in the middle is, I have the privilege of being the mommy to that dog. Some people love their animals and love taking them for walks. Some people, Chris, love painting and doing things. Some people love exercise. Sorry, I couldn't find a runner, Ian. Some people we know love gardening. Some love embroidery, knitting, sewing, crocheting. And some people love their music. Heather does, and a few others. What are our interests? What are the things that we do? Our topic, as you know, we're following the LICC Lent series, and this week is what do we do? What is the purpose in our interests and in the things that we do? So, what are our interests? As a group here, what are our interests? This is where you start doing some work. What do we enjoy doing? What do we do in our leisure time? We've had our purpose in our work. We've had our purpose in our families. What do we do in our leisure time? What do we enjoy doing? Reading. Do we need a microphone? You're happy to shout out. I have one ready if you want a microphone. Otherwise, I'm happy to shout. Okay, read. Talk. Walk? Was that talk or walk? We'll do both. Cooking. Gardening. Sorry, I'm not getting them all, so. Running. Sing. Pray. Chess. Driving. Sorry? Evangelizing. Is that what we do in our spare time? Grandchildren. Sleep. Okay, what have I missed? We don't have sewing or knitting, and I know there's quite a few people who sew here. Ooh. Is that to perform or to... Oh, gosh, right. Well, we won't look at my spelling, okay, on that one. What else do we enjoy doing? Painting. Ooh, nice. Ooh. My least enjoyable. What else? Eating. Ooh, yes, definitely. Friends? What about friends? Family? Sometimes. I agree, totally agree with you. Sometimes I love my kids. I went up to, if some of you know, I'm doing my training course, and I went up to Manchester the other day, and we had to, our first event we had to do was an icebreaker, and they said, so from this side, 1 to 10, who of you have sacrificed the most to come up to Manchester? So 1 was the least sacrificed and 10 was the most. I went to 1 and they said, and everybody at number 10 said, well, I had to leave my children behind. And I was, and that's why I'm here, because I had to leave my children behind. So they were both in a foul mood when I left. It was the best thing out to have a really good excuse to go, to come away. So sometimes our friends and our family are the best and sometimes they're not. But they're all things that we do, aren't they? On an average, they might average out in a 5 or 6. Anything else that we like to do in our spare time? Learning. Writing, what did I get? Writing as in journaling, as in, well, I'll just read it. Whatever. Cleaning. Yes, it is something we do in our spare time, unfortunately. Cycling? We've got shopping somewhere. Okay, I think that's a pretty good list. I'm pretty impressed with that list. We're a pretty diverse bunch of people, are we? So some of them are hobbies, some of them are sports, some of them can be crafts. How many of you feel that you're really, really proficient in those things? Ian, I guess you're a pretty good runner. Ian would probably say he's a pretty good runner. Me, I'm about in a minus 10 on the running sides. How many of you feel really confident in your cooking abilities? Who would you? Okay. How many of you feel that you're not? Okay, there we go. So we've got a vast amount of experience as well. What are interests? What would you define them as? The LICC does not define them. So that's left for us. And what does the Bible, obviously this is a sermon, what does the Bible say about our interests outside of work? I struggled. I struggled mostly because my mind is very much on the fact that what we do outside of work is pleasure. And I'm thinking about the life of Jesus and what we read about him. We read every now and again that he took his disciples off to rest, but we never actually read that they went for a run or they decided to do a painting class or they decided to do stuff. We don't really read much of that in the Bible, do we? Sorry? They did learn, yes, so they did do some of those things. They went to a wedding, yes, and it doesn't say, though, that they didn't have fun. It's just not the emphasis, isn't it? When you think about the fact of 12 men running around, 13 men wandering around together with their hangers on, I'm pretty sure they must have had quite a bit of fun walking around. They did a lot of walking, didn't they? I'm pretty sure that it wasn't all serious. They tell us that, the Bible scholars tell us that some of the stories that Jesus told were actually quite amusing. Now, in our modern society, we don't find them particularly amusing, and I think we find it difficult to think of Jesus as being amusing because we seem to think that he should always be serious. He was the Son of God. But he did go to weddings. He did go and do these other things. So yes, we do believe that Jesus had a lot of downtime. He was creative. Apparently he was a carpenter. There's a lot of creativity in that. Might have been his work, but a lot of creativity. So I looked at a few of them. Our interests. Some things are just interests. I enjoy cooking. I'm not too bad at it. But I can, and I'm happy to cater for large quantities of people to do simple things. Please do not ask me to put on a banquet. That is above my capabilities. But some people have this as an absolute gift. That is their gift. They not only love cooking, but they're brilliant at it. I have two sisters. They're younger than me. I taught them both how to bake cakes. Both of them now teach internationally. they both travel. One's back in South Africa, is on local TV most of the time, every now and again with her baking. The other one literally travels. She's a judge of cake baking and cake decorating. And I can still remember the day I taught them how to bake a cake, So I didn't do anything, but I did teach them how to bake. So my claim to fame is, well, yeah, we had our first lessons together, but I can just about manage to put together a cake for my kids' birthdays, which my kids like, although not anymore. My daughter now decides to make her. Actually, my daughter decided that a Costco cake was better this year. Yeah, well, anyway. Yes, she seriously did. I had to go borrow from Costco. So what are the differences? Where does pleasure, something that you do for fun, and then suddenly become work? I chatted to my mom about how difficult I was finding this thing, and she said, well, there's plenty of craftsmen in the Bible. She says, there's the silversmiths and all those people who did who prepared the Ark of the Tabernacle and all the rest of it. And I said, yeah, but I'm pretty sure that that was work. I'm pretty sure they got paid for that. So at what point does your craft and your art become work? Now, we've already discovered finding pleasure in our work and serving God in our work. So how does this work in things that would be considered rest or fun? Do we need to have fun? That's a biblical concept. We do need to rest. There is a purpose to it all. At any rate, I really felt that Ecclesiastes was where we should start, because it is actually one of the only times in the Bible where it actually talks about, I decided I was going to have fun. I decided I was going to have pleasure. Actually, that's what he stated. Right. Let's go back to who wrote Ecclesiastes. It has been attributed to Solomon, simply because we know it was written by a king who was the son of David, so we know it wasn't David. He was incredibly wealthy, incredibly wise, industrious, practical, organized. So, sounds a bit like Solomon. It could be somebody else, but is more, most likely to be Solomon. We do know from reading the passage that we did, they were not an idle person. They considered part of their pleasure was to build palaces and plant vineyards and plant orchards and build dams, which I found was, to me, was rather industrious. So they must have been an incredibly wealthy person if they were considering that in their leisure time. So what was the conclusion that they came to? Let's see, first of all, what they tried. So the writer of Ecclesiastes says, I tried pleasure, I tried laughter, I tried wine and folly. He really, really went out of his way to try to find folly. He did projects, he did gardening, he got more slaves, he got more herds and flocks. He gained more wealth, he had singers, he even had a harem full of wives. He was great, he was famous, he was wise. He says, I denied myself nothing. He even worked. And what was his conclusion? Everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Why? But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus doesn't want our lives to be meaningless. He said this in the context of when he was talking about being the good shepherd and protecting his flocks. So it's not in the basis of, I want you to have a full life, I want you to go out and do whatever you want. He said this, I want you to have life to the full within my protection. Because I'm the good shepherd watching over you, and because I'm watching over you, you can have all your fun in these parameters, because I am going to watch over you. Jesus also said later on in John 15, I have told you this so that my love may be in you, my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Joy is something that Jesus wants us to have. This also, though, was in the context of loving each other. Love one another as I have loved you. He's just talked about John 15, the vine and the branches. Stay in me. Again, the joy is not separate from God. It is not separate from Jesus. Our joy has to be found in him and following his commands. So, are our hobbies, our sports, our pastimes a waste of time? I don't believe they are. Because I think there is things that are meaningless. Because in the long run, I think what Solomon, or the writer to Ecclesiastes, had this long view. He was saying, in the end of time, I might enjoy it while it's happening, but at the end of my life, because what he's always talking about is, at the end of my life, when I leave it to somebody else, I've just left it. What have I gained from it? So is our hobbies and crafts meaningless? They can be in the long run. At the end of the day, we're all going to die, says Ecclesiastes. We're all going to die. And are they meaningless? Possibly. We've all made things, those of us who are crafters, we've all made things and then found them in a charity shop. We've painted a painting and given it to a relative and then found it in a charity shop. Or you know, those things that you make for your... Some beautiful dresses that my mom made for my children, and I passed them on to a friend, and I don't know where they've gone now. They might be sitting in a charity shop or landfill. But what about the value to us? What value do our interests and our crafts and our pastimes bring to us? What do they bring? Rest? Joy? Refreshment? An identity? We all know that Brian's the man with the guitar. Ask the little fish. What else do they give us? Satisfaction, sorry? Excitement. Yeah, we might not wake up excited to go to work, but to know that we've got choir practice tonight or art this afternoon might give us that joy. What else do they bring? What other value do they bring to our lives? Yes? Who is the ultimate creator God? Who's creator? God. Look, you've only got to look at two different roses to see that each one is different and separate. Sorry, you were going to say something.
Peace.
That's an incredible one. Yes. Sometimes when you're going through a really stressful time and you concentrate on making something or doing something, you just gain a peace. What about perspective? They can help us gain perspective as well, can't they? So, incredible value in our interests. They have a value to us. What about a greater purpose? Let's read what the Ecclesiastes says at the end. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? We can all have fun, but ultimately, our true enjoyment has to be found in doing these things for God or for him or through him. Joe read for us in 1 Peter 4, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others. So the idea is that whatever gifts we have, whatever these abilities we have, if they're hobbies or what skills, are from God and they need to be used for him. Because we are faithful stewards of God's grace in all its forms. So whatever gifts we've been given, whatever abilities we have come from God and we need to use them for his glory. So we have a lovely list of interests here. Some of us have all of those. Who has all of those? Come on, must have one of you, one of all-rounder. Some of us will only have two of those. Some of us will have many of them. Some of us will have a set. Sometimes if you're into running, you might be into cycling and you might be very sporty. But what is it? We have an absolute wealth right here in this room of skills and gifts. We have interests, we have hobbies and pleasure activities. How can we use those for God's glory? What purpose can these interests that we've written down serve for God? Do we want to? We don't have to. But ultimately, God would have a purpose for them. Here's a few that I have found just around the building. Oh, yes. Right. If we're really good at exercising, we could encourage other people to exercise. We could do it with them. We have some fantastic gardeners. We can bring the flowers in and we can use them in church, in the entrance, wherever. That cooking was me using my cooking ability to help a whole bunch of children at a holiday club. They come in and we teach them how to do some basic cooking skills. In the middle, cast your orange eye on him. I hope that I have not gone and ruined a surprise. But that is our new banner that has been worked on for the last 18 months and will be very shortly, hopefully, in our window here. And that is being designed by a whole bunch of people who have various skills of sewing and abilities. We have some lovely drummers over there. You see, their musical talent was not known until they were called to the front by Pam a couple of weeks ago. It was at the beginning of the year, wasn't it? Okay. So I haven't noticed them coming back to play those drums again, but you never know. Some people have card-making abilities. As you know, we've just opened the Meet and Eat Cafe. If anybody wants to donate some of their homemade cards or want to make some stuff to sell for church funds, go ahead. The biker. Do you know that there's a whole bunch of biker groups that actually ride for Jesus? You see? So even if you're just, your only love is motorcycles and you love Jesus, you can use that as well. Some people have these abilities to make coffees. I'm not one of them, but I try my hardest. Those lovely things that look like daffodils was actually somebody's attempt, which I think is amazing, at making deviled eggs in an unusual and different way. The artwork in the bottom right is actually on a pavement to cover the cracks and to make something beautiful. We have our lovely cakes that were made by people of the church for the opening of the Meet and Eat, and other people serving and being part of that outreach because they're friendly and they can make a welcome face. In the bottom left, I found this on Facebook. Somebody who, they don't know who it is, this lady went to a park bench early one evening and she was actually in quite a distressed state. And she found this on a park bench, and she thought it had been left. And she picked it up, and it actually says, "This has not been abandoned. This has been left here for whoever finds it. Please take it home." And it meant so much to her that she put it on Facebook, because at that stage, that is what she needed in her life. So even those abilities to do things like that, God can use and use for His glory. So, I'm just hoping that in some way today, our view of our interests, our hobbies, the things that we do as our pleasure activities, that we can just view them in a slightly new way. And just think, is there some way that we can use them to glorify God? 1 Peter says, "If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray together. Father God, we are eternally grateful for the fun that we have in our lives, the things that we do for fun. We thank You for giving us gifts and skills that we can cook and do art and be creative and do crafts and run and cycle and garden and do all these things, the ability to learn, to look after our children, to clean, to do all these amazing gifts and skills that You've given us. Father God, You are great and You have given them to us. We acknowledge that every good gift that we have comes from You. Father, we pray that You would nudge us and show us where we can use these gifts and talents and hobbies and crafts that we do, that we can use them for Your glory. Because, Father God, that is what the entire purpose of our lives should be, to bring You glory, to further Your kingdom. So we pray that You would speak into our hearts and speak into our lives and show us Your way and ways to bring You glory, even the things that we do for fun. Pray this in Your Jesus' name. Amen.